I'm the chairperson of the Commission on Disability Issues for the City of Tucson. It is April 16th, 3:31 p.m. I'm calling this meeting to order. Stephanie, will you take roll call?
Yes. So this is the CODI meeting for April 16th. Sue Krieger. Derek Espadas.
Present.
Pat Poble.
Here.
Ray Jordan.
Here.
Lily Bogan.
Here.
Wesley Derbyshire.
Present.
Kate Elliott.
Here.
Jonathan Lee Confer.
Here.
We have quorum.
Great. Thank you, Stephanie. Okay. We will get right into our first agenda item. That will be a call to the public. This is where any members of the public who have, a disability issue or concern that they would like to bring to our attention, now would be the time to speak up, either unmute yourself, virtually raise your hand, just let us know if you have anything to say. And then we will, take attention. We may not address it in this meeting, per se, just because of our agenda, but we do take public comment very seriously. Thank you. I see someone unmuted. If there's anyone. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that us?
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I'm David Gordon, and this is Lara Summers. We're from Special Needs Solutions. I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time to introduce ourselves or not, but Derek is giving us a thumbs up, so I guess that's good enough. He just asked us to show up, and I think he wants us to help make you all aware of what it is that we do. So I'll just briefly tell you what it is we do, and then if you have any questions, you can ask us, and then you can get on with your business. So we're a nonprofit, and what we do is we make custom-made equipment of all kinds for children and adults with disabilities. And it can be anything from supportive equipment, chairs, tables, desks, clothing, electronics, anything that's needed. If we can make it, we make it. And we do it just for the cost of materials. So it's very, very inexpensive. We work with the clients, we work with the therapists to design things that are made. That is what we do. That is what we do. So I don't know if that's going to be of use or of interest to you folks. But if it is, I'd be delighted to have you contact us or come down and visit us. Come down and see the shop. Everybody here who works here, they're all volunteers, except for Lara and I, and they do all the work.
Sir, where are you located in Tucson?
We are located in on 4555 South Palo Verde Road. Between Ajo and Irvington in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's relevant. What you're asking is relevant because we don't ship things. We don't do anything like that. So the area that we operate in is southern Arizona. We don't ship equipment. Anything we make needs to be picked up at our shops. That's important to know, recognize.
Great. Thank you. That's very good information.
I was just going to say we have a website. You guys are all welcome to check out. It's snsarizona.org. Mm-hmm. You can learn more about us on there.
Oh, no. It's
snstucson.org. Sorry.
snstucson.org.
Okay, great.
snstucson.org. All right.
Well, thank you guys very much. What you do.
Yeah. Derek, is there anything else you wanted us to mention?
No, I just noticed your website and just wanted people to be aware because you do.
Well, we froze Derek.
Yeah, you did great. And I just wanted, just as a someone who uses equipment for mobility, I think it's just good for the public to know resources that are out there.
Good. All right. Well, we certainly are that, and we'll be delighted to talk with any of you anytime.
Great. Thank you, sir. Hey, Laura.
All right.
Great.
All right. Have a lovely meeting.
Yeah, thanks. All right. Our next agenda item is presentation and discussion of the SunVan draft comprehensive operational analysis with SunTran representatives. I see at least one person I know associated with SunTran.
Hi, Zach.
Hi, Luz.
Hi. Yes, I'm here. So I'll be leading the presentation. The project manager, Ian Sanson, is unfortunately out, so he is not here to present for you guys on this, but I'm here. I come out to all the outreach meetings, so I feel pretty confident on it. And if there's anything I can answer, I'll be sure that Ian gets in contact with any specific questions that I couldn't answer. But also with me today, too, is Stephanie Ramirez and Sessa, I'm pretty sure, is here as well. They're both part of the leadership team at SunVan, so they will help field a lot of those questions for us as well. So before I get started, how many of you have actually been involved with the SunVan COA? Have you guys been to a presentation or seen it online? Seeing a lot of head shakings, and yes, awesome. And I recognize a lot of names here, so it's nice to see some of you again. So thank you for being involved. So I'm going to go through the actual presentation. It's about 10 minutes, and then we'll have a lot of time for questions and discussions. Yeah, let me just go ahead and get started with that for you all. Oh.
And just one quick note.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I wanted to make sure participants knew that Stephanie Alvarez sent out your presentation earlier today over the email. So if you haven't checked your email and want to follow along, we have that. So go ahead.
Thank you, Zach. Okay, so the SunVan Comprehensive Operational Analysis, it's a little bit of a mouthful, but it's the SunVan COA. Okay, so we're going to go just do a quick project overview, the service analysis we went through, the customer survey, and then the draft recommendations that are split into short-term and long-term recommendations. So first off, the project overview. So what's SunVan? I know a lot of us know that, but SunVan is the shared ride for public transportation service for people who have a disability that prevents them from using services like SunTran or SunLink. You do have to be found eligible to use the service before using it, which means you have to qualify for the service. And then the service provided to and from destinations within 3/4 of a mile of any SunTran or SunLink route. Premium service offered to destinations and hours beyond requirements when available. So what I'm showing on the screen right now is the actual SunVan service area. If anybody's seeing that, you'll see that the pink area is the city of Tucson, then the green areas is a second, maybe not the second largest, but the green areas is a Pima County, and then the blue area is that premium service that isn't within a 1/4 mile of a SunTran or a SunLink route. So what's a COA? So the SunVan Comprehensive Operational Analysis, we use that to kind of evaluate the service itself. So what SunVan is doing now, the policies, the procedures, and we're really looking at identifying the opportunities to improve SunVan, create a more equitable, effective, and efficient transit system. And then we're proposing recommendations for the future of SunVan and to better, you know, serve the community. And then the SunVan COA actually came as a complement to SunTran COA. So SunTran is the fixed route, the buses, and we also had a COA for SunTran in 2023. So this COA is a partnership between the City of Tucson, SunVan, that's operated by RATP Dev, and then TMD, who's a transit consultant company, so they're kind of the third party coming in to make sure everything is equitable, like non-biased, right? And then our project timeline. So in the spring of 2024, last year, we went out to the first round of outreach, and we also had a survey at that time. And then we have been kind of looking at those surveys to build this draft recommendation, and we're coming out to the second round of outreach right now, and our hope is to be done with this report by summer of 2025. So this summer we hope to kind of wrap everything up so everybody can see that project. So our service evaluation. So we went out to 12 peer agencies to kind of see where we lied. We talked to places like Central Ohio Transit Authority, City of Albuquerque, City of Colorado Springs, City of El Paso, City of Memphis, City of Phoenix, the Greater Dayton Regional Transit Authority, Jacksonville, Kansas City, Tulsa, Milwaukee, and the RTC of Washoe County in Nevada. So we really looked at peer agencies that really fit within our demographic, the size, and all those things. And what we saw is that a higher portion of our transit budget is being used for paratransit. The rides per capita are higher. Our productivity is similar. Better cost effectiveness. We have a lower on-time performance and higher customer cancellations. And then we really looked at our trends within Sunman itself. So we were looking at post-COVID trends. We were looking at 2019 versus 2023. So what we saw an increase of 2%. So monthly boarding by clients increased by 2%. No major shift in trips to destinations. 33% of our clients are NEO since 2019. And the eligibility, we haven't really seen a big number of change in applications or medical verification process. Reservations, however, we did see that calls take longer than typical because of how trips are being scheduled. Social service agencies making many trip reservations per call, which, you know, ties up the line, takes additional time. Our trip negotiation not being used effectively, which makes schedules less efficient. And then pickup times round to every 5 minutes, which is also, we found less efficient. So our operations. So currently right now, we are not currently meeting on-time performance goal, which is the lowest on weekdays from 3 to 5. The 5-minute call-outs to customers take too much time for dispatch, and Sunman travel time compared to SunTran travel time exceeds the current policy of that 15% of weekday trips. That's kind of what we saw from our evaluations. And then the customer survey, so I'm showing a graph right now that shows kind of what we are doing best, right? So the highlights of that is exceeding expectations for cost, comfort, and safety. So, of course, everyone's happy that they don't have to pay. We're exceeding there. Comfort, everyone seemed to be okay with the comfort. And safety, everyone seemed to be okay with the safety. Where we're not doing well is meeting expectations on on-time performance. So, you know, we're not getting places on time. The trips are taking too long. And the ride schedule, people aren't really able to get the rides that they want at the times that they want. Okay, so that's kind of where we're not doing the best. And we're looking at if we had questions on mobility options. So 30% of existing Sunvan clients use rideshare companies such as Uber or Lyft in the previous month. So they're still Sunvan clients, but 37% of them were still using kind of an Uber or Lyft during that time. About half of clients indicated that they would use a rideshare company if it was offered. Most would use the service less than 3 times per month. So here are the draft recommendations, and we have those split out between like short-term and long-term. So for short-term, that's like immediate implementation, eligibility, we're going to explore outsourcing eligibility process, track and enforce no-show policy, diagnose technology issues that make software slow for city eligibility staff. And for reservations, we're going to try to reduce call hold times so that 95% of the calls are answered within 3 minutes and 99% of the calls can be answered within 5 minutes. We're going to implement new phone tree to have dedicated sub queues for each call. For example, like you're calling just for reservations, you're calling just for a ride status, you're calling just for a cancellation, as opposed to right now when you call, like the reservationists don't really know which call they're getting. So this would break those calls up. Let's see. Continuing the reservation, they would implement a trip negotiation in Sunman app to be consistent with phones. So currently on the Sunman app, you can't really negotiate trip time. So we're going to try to make sure we can do that in the Sunman app. We want to update procedures and conduct call taker training, and then reallocate staff from call taking to scheduling. And operations, hire additional Sunman drivers. That's a big one for us. We need to keep hiring drivers to get to 2019 levels. Keep conducting dispatch training, track and report service performance data by service time. For example, track Sunman and Pima County separately, as well as ADA compared to the premium service. So just looking at different ways that we can kind of tidy some of that stuff up. And then we're kind of looking for our feedback requested on eligibility. We are looking at maybe making that process a little bit more simple, simplified medical verification forms, require applicants to provide with rest of the application for more efficient processing. These are kind of the things that we heard, and we're trying to figure out how we can best help with that for reservations, offer negotiating trip times for more efficient and on-time scheduling, provide a pickup window to the minute instead of rounding to every 5 minutes, limit reservations per call. So right now some people are calling and making reservations for the month. If we limit that to only 4 trips per call, that may help with the whole time. And then also implement like voice response and texting. So when people call to kind of find out where their ride is, we might be able to do some kind of voice response with that, so it's not tying up a dispatcher or a reservationist. And the operations, again, implementing voice response or text for callouts, allowing dispatch to better monitor service, change onboard comparability, Sunman versus Subtran to less than 5% of trips exceeding fixed route time plus 25 minutes. And then the operational premium non-ADA service, temporarily narrowing Sunman operational service to before 7 a.m. between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. and after 7 p.m. on weekdays until on time and onboard time is, you know, getting back to meeting our standards, and negotiate premium trip rates with social service agency or handle trips same way as rest of trips. We also have the new mobility choice program, and this is all things that we just want feedback on. It's not something that's being implemented in this moment. They're things that we want feedback on. So piloting a program for existing Sunman clients for 1 year within a 6-month assessment. It would be kind of a service that would use some kind of combination of like an Uber Lyft. And then we would charge for those trips. There'd be a $15 fare for trips of any distance, and then a $12 fare for trips that were 8 miles or less. So this is all just consideration and things that we want to receive feedback on. Yeah, so like I said, we have been doing these outreach meetings since the end of March. We've hosted quite a bit, and everything that you're seeing here is also found online. So if you go to suntran.com/sunvancoa, you can see everything that we have done, the meetings that are coming up. You can see the YouTube video that actually has our project manager, Ian, going through the whole meeting itself. And then we have links to that survey, which is really important, and it's a great way for us to get feedback. Okay, that was a lot, guys. Thank you for taking that in. I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing my screen, and I see I already have a hand raised. So let me go ahead and call on Lily. Lily, question for us?
Yes, I have 2. The first one is, are there any plans on increasing the reservation hours?
Okay. Stephanie, can you talk about that, please? Any plans on increasing the reservation hours? What are the current reservation hours right now, Stephanie?
Current reservation hours is from 7 until 4.
Okay. And I don't think that's been discussed, correct, Stephanie? We haven't talked about extending the reservation window?
Nope.
No. Okay. Is that something that you find an issue, Lily? Are you seeing that, like, you want to call at different times?
Yes. It would be really nice to have that 4 o'clock extended to 7 p.m. Phoenix Metro has a 7 a.m. 7 p.m. window, and it seems like that 4 o'clock, people who work and want to do a reservation after work are locked out of that option. My second is the mobility choice. I booked an Uber this weekend. It was a 9-mile ride for $14. So it doesn't seem like the $12 for 8 miles is any savings whatsoever. So I'm wondering why who decided on that price and
what sure.
the background is on that.
Sure, I can speak to that. So the prices are all very nothing's set in stone right now, right? So the prices are kind of what we saw too. So you said the 9-mile ride was $14. We went through and saw that as well. So we were like, hey, 8 miles is about 12. Anything over the 8 miles, we would just do a $15 flat cost. So even if you were saying like, yes, this is a good idea, no, this isn't a good idea, those prices aren't set in stone right now. We're kind of just seeing what the average price is. So knowing that you took a 9-mile ride and it was $14 kind of is nice to know, because it is kind of within that price range that we were thinking of. And again, we're just looking at what these rideshare companies are charging already. So yes, it wouldn't really be a cost saving for you. The only thing that it would do would allow us to kind of take your reservation and give to somebody else. And of course, that's only if you agreed. You know, you wouldn't be forced to pay for this ride and take a Lyft or an Uber. That's only if that's something that you wanted to do. Are you good, Lily? Can I move to another question?
Yes. Yes, I'm good.
Okay. Thank you so much. Ray Jordan, my friend Ray Jordan. Nice to see you.
Thanks, Liz. Hi, nice to see you too. So many questions.
Oh, gosh.
But I'm going to limit myself to one or two, let some other people speak, and maybe if this time I'll ask some more. Now, let's talk, since Lily was just asking about Uber or Lyft or whatever, probably a good place to start. It's not where I intended, but here we go. As far as I'm aware, there are very, very few, if any, wheelchair accessible Uber or Lyft vehicles. That is, this mobility choices sounds like a great idea, but for anybody who does not have like the folding up, stick it in the trunk type wheelchair, that's not going to work.
No, we agree. We've thought about that as well too, and that's something that would have to be done, right? Like, we would never be like, oh, go take this Uber if you have a mobility device. Like, we definitely have thought through that. And we're not saying that we're going to partner with Uber or Lyft. Like, that's just kind of what people think of. There is a lot of other companies that do this as well and that do have the option for a mobility device. So trust us that if we do go to something like that, we will vet the company through to make sure that it fits the needs for all of our riders.
Okay, let's stay on this particular subject.
Okay.
So I'm guessing the idea is that Sunvan would contract with a group of companies, you know, a bunch of companies who would be able to provide these rides. It would be important, I think, and here's, you know, Cody as an advisory body suggesting to you that the contract must involve penalty clauses for non-performance or low performance of those contracted companies.
Yeah, I like that. We haven't put together a request for proposal yet because we're just seeing if this is even something that people would want. But I wouldn't mind letting Ian know that when we're ready to go for, you know, proposals to bring this up, because it'd be nice to get feedback on that as well.
Right. My final thing, and this is not a question, this one is a comment. I've completed the survey online and I've just looked at it again just now and looked at the deficiencies in it. There's very little detail for people to think about their answers. The detail on all kinds of the recommendations and other things within the document that you went through and that we were provided earlier today. I'd like to see a whole bunch more, some explanation, some detail, so that people can make intelligent feedback or give you intelligent feedback after they actually understand what it is you're asking.
Definitely. And yes, sorry, I don't want to cut you off, Ray. Yes, I agree with you. The survey is meant to be complementary to an outreach meeting, to a presentation like this. We were asked to put it online so that people could get further reach for it, and that is why we have the presentation online. But yes, I do agree that if I was looking at this presentation, or not presentation, if I was looking at the survey and had never saw a presentation, it would be kind of hard to make informed decisions on some of those questions because, you know, you don't have anything to reference it to. So I think on the actual – well, you know what? Let me go and look at that because I think on the actual survey itself, it should have the presentation on there. On the actual survey when you go in, there should be like a YouTube link to the actual presentation. And I'll
– sorry, the presentation itself also has very little detail.
Okay.
Very little. Oh, it means fair. A lot to you who works in the industry. It means nothing to the person who's a sunburn rider.
Okay. Thank you, Ray. I'll be sure to pass that on. Thank you. And I think Derek was next.
So much like Ray, I have two questions and a comment.
Sure.
I'll start off with the comment since Ray already mentioned it. There is a lack of wheelchair accessible vehicles.
Correct.
So essentially, like if I try to use Uber in that, it has the option for what they call Wave, the wheelchair accessible vehicle, but there's no response. It just it makes you wait for about 5 minutes and then tells you, oh, sorry, there's no one. And I get that if no one has an accessible car because they're using their own. But even at the airport, and I agree also with Ray's suggestion that there's a penalty because at the airport where there's supposed to be an accessible vehicle with the contracted taxis, there is not one. And they actually, if you call them, don't know what they will say. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have one. And even TIA chooses not to respond. So it's not a matter of not getting a response. It's now I'm stuck at the airport. And in several occasions, I've had to wait 3 hours and then finally get someone to get a ride. There was no ride option. I'm not a bus user. I don't know how to use the bus from the airport. So it's all that because that was one person's response. I would be lost traveling forever because I don't use SunTrain.
Eric, can I recommend that we have bus training at SunTran. So if you ever wanted to learn how to use SunTran, we do monthly trainings at SunTran. Just throwing that out there, not as a response.
For me, I don't want to use a bus.
That's fair.
I want it to be equitable where everybody else is pressing the little Uber button and getting them right in 5 minutes. I want the same.
Yeah, your call.
And I have to say, I just came back from Houston. Not that it's perfect because at the airport, there's no accessible vehicles. But when you're in the central area, the paramedical transport are actually part of Uber. And it made my life, it made the whole trip enjoyable. And we used it even when we didn't have to because it was such a novel experience to be able to press Uber and not have to wait forever. Like we waited 5 minutes and there was a wheelchair accessible vehicle there. And so we used it even when we didn't need to because it was just such a novel experience to actually have that accessibility. As far as my questions, yes. On your slides, it said that you were surveying current users of SunVan.
Uh-huh.
What about including non-users? Because my experience is I can't even get approved to be a user. So I can't even get input in one way or another. I can't be approved to be a user. I'm a wheelchair user. I keep getting denied, or I keep getting no response. What about having a call for input from potential SunVan users?
Yeah, definitely. We are open to everybody taking the survey. It is open to everyone. Our meetings are open to everybody. We have been having public input meetings. We actually jumped on board with SunTran. SunTran had a whole public outreach for their Title VI. Program. So SunVan came and did these presentations with them. So there was a lot of non-SunVan riders there as well who actually were interested in SunVan once they were learning about it and did take the survey as well. Because yeah, you're right. It is important to get everybody's kind of feedback because maybe you might use it in the future. Or maybe you're trying to use it now.
Yeah. And then finally, Lily mentioned about, you know, using Uber and the cost with that. One of the costs that rarely gets talked about is the tipping. Uh-huh. So, and I think for two parts. One, Uber drivers don't make anything. They rely on the tips.
Uh-huh.
Because I saw their phone on like a $50 ride, they're making $2. So both, I think, is important for our local economy for them to get money off of that. But I think there's also a issue of social equity and a feeling of just maybe I won't use Uber because I can't afford to tip a driver. And so there's that aspect I think that should be considered as well.
Sure, definitely. Thank you. Thank you for all of that feedback. We'll make sure to pass that on. And yes, thank you, Derek. And I also just real quick put in the chat the survey link, and then I also put the webpage for our Sundance COA project. I think I'm losing track of who's next. Was it Lee?
Yeah, that'll be me, Jonathan, here. Thanks for the presentation. I'm kind of suspicious of, like, external people making determinations on health. Kind of example, like, I would prefer my doctor to determine what treatments I need, not an insurance company's medical director.
Uh-huh.
So I'm kind of having the idea of outsourcing the determination of who qualifies for a Sunvan. Are you guys going to be able to maintain oversight to prevent subjective or overly restrictive determinations of who gets approved for it?
I think we should, definitely. Again, these are all kind of ideas. Nothing's really been vetted out quite yet, but I definitely think that it would ultimately rely on our eligibility office. I don't think they're looking at, like, getting rid of the eligibility office. I think they're looking at kind of supplementing it with some third-party help.
I see. Cool. And one quick question. Have you guys considered, like, GPS tracking the Sunvan so that people can look on their app and be like, oh, you know what, it's like 4 stops away or like 7 minutes away, so it doesn't have to worry about them calling you guys?
Stephanie, is that? Sorry, let me call on Stephanie. Yeah. She handles our reservations.
Oh, that's fine. If you're on the app, all the vehicles should be able to track to where it gives you an estimated time of arrival.
Oh, then why are people calling?
Not everyone's using the app. So
That's fair. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then I think it was Wesley.
Hi.
Hey, Wesley.
Yeah, I use the app. It does tell me when the vans are arriving. It's not perfectly accurate, but it does work pretty well. My comment is regarding the price that was noted on the survey. I don't think that was very well defined on the new COA survey, saying that it was 12. They asked whether or not you'd use this service if it was $12 for 8 miles or less. Unfortunately, I answered no for that because I know that if I travel for about 4 or 5 miles or 3 miles, I can get a ride for about $7. Why would I pay 12 when I can only pay 7 directly to Uber? Right? So that question was a no for me. So it was an invalid question. And I felt that the question should have been worded differently than that. And additionally, I felt that I know that up in Phoenix, they charge a much lower fee, about $3 to $5 for a similar ride, and then they do it by mileage. So I do believe that Sunvan needs to reconsider how the pricing operates, and the folks who are writing these surveys need to understand how people actually read these and respond to them. And that's my only comment today that I have at the moment. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. Real quick, Zach, when this meeting gets recorded, does it get posted or does it get sent to you guys? Where does the meeting go?
The audio gets posted to the CODI website, which is affiliated with the city. I mean, I can find the link, but the...
I can ask Stephanie.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll ask Stephanie. Just because I was like, oh, this is great. I want to make sure to, you know, send this whole conversation we're having to the project team. Okay, it's your turn, Zach.
All right. So I have several questions as well. In terms of the extended service area, do we have an idea of how many people, like, cutting off service would affect?
I'm not sure. I think, Cesar, that might be a question for you. So we're talking about the premium service, right? The that's outside?
Well, I don't like calling it premium service. Okay. I mean, I understand the idea of it, that, you know, it's not required by law, but those people still rely on that service. So, yes. But
sure. Yeah. So I don't think the idea is to cut off the service. I think it's to limit the times, right? Cesar, is that correct? Can you speak to
that's right. It all depends on the service in the area, you know, because we have limits, obviously. But, you know, we can check on that, definitely.
Okay, on how many people right. may be affected by that.
Right, but, like, regardless of whether you, like, I'm not saying that service goes away, but when you limit it to, you know, very, like, 3 hours in the morning and then a few hours in the afternoon, like, you know, people might rely on this for work, for school, for, like, other things that don't fit within those service parameters. So, you know, then they would be paying, like, you know, the only other option for them would be the rider, the mobility choice program, which would be like a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
Right. Especially for people with disabilities who might be on public benefits or have income limitations in and of themselves. So the other, I think Wesley addressed mostly my other some of my other comments, within the mobility choice program that, like, it seems curious that the proposed pricing scheme, like, I recognize it's not permanent, it's just an idea,
mm-hmm.
but it seems strange that, like, Maricopa, you know, county riders, you know, with comparable, you know, economics, like, their rider choice program costs, like, $5 for the first 8 miles and then $1 thereafter, and, you know, $12 and then $15 is quite a bit, you know, quite a bit more.
Yeah, it's almost double. Yeah.
So it just, it seems like, you know, again, like a high burden on people with disabilities. And like, it seems interesting that the comparability would be with like rideshare programs instead of other like paratransit or, you know, rider choice programs that provide a similar type of service. Just putting it out there.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then I guess like some of my other questions have to do with like, what is considered full driver staffing?
Seth, can you speak to that? What is our capacity of drivers? Like how many drivers do we have now? How many drivers do we want? Can you answer those questions for us?
Absolutely. We have a new class every 3-4 weeks. We have an average of 10 new drivers per class. We retain approximately 50% of those new drivers in class. Some of them, they don't like, you know, the type of driving, because as you know, we interact with wheelchairs, clients with special needs. But we try our best to keep her, you know, the most we can, but yep, indeed we have a class every 3-4 weeks. And, we start with the 1 week in class, and then the second week is optical course in the yard. The third week, it's out on the road with a trainer. And the fourth week is with a behind-the-wheel trainer. After that, we assign a supervisor to do this final test, sign-off. And hopefully they pass, and they're on their own. After that, we have a 90-day probation period. And every week, you know, we monitor the efficiency on that new driver, you know, as far as on time performance, everything on the new driver. So, and we, we assign a supervisor to work with them at all time. So that's our process.
And then how many drivers do we have right now? And like, can you say like we have 120 drivers and we need 160? Do you have those numbers?
Absolutely. Yeah, right now. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Stephanie.
I can answer that. Right now we're at 168 drivers and we should be at approximately 185.
Okay. So we're about 20 drivers short of being full staffed. We're having a good job hiring people. It seems like we're having a hard time passing them all the way through because some people kind of realize that maybe that job isn't for them. And we do have an extensive training program that does look like 20 is not that bad. We can maybe hopefully get to that full staff pretty soon.
And maybe like just to compare, like I know it seems like from data I've looked at that on-time performance might have gone down over the last year. So are driver levels like the same, more, the driver and rider levels, are they the same, more, less than, you know, than 1 year ago? Like, kind of what's
I can answer that.
Thank you, Stephanie.
So, right now at our current point as of today, our ridership from last year, we used to see about 1,800 rides. Now we're seeing and that's daily. Now we're seeing anywhere from 2,200 to 2,300 rides a day. Mm-hmm. So between so many rides being booked and not enough drivers, that's where our on-time performance is really struggling because we just don't have enough drivers right now to handle those rides. So they're running late because we're putting rides on. Drivers are working extra hours just to maintain our current overload of riders.
Yeah.
Okay. I have two other questions, and then I know, Lily, you have your hand up. I'm just curious if, like, Sun Van and Sun Tran, like, drivers get paid similarly, or if there's, you know,
a difference. Unfortunately, they don't, because in order to operate a Sun Tran, you have to carry your CDL license. And to operate one of our Sun Vans, you don't need to carry a CDL license.
Gotcha. That's helpful to know. I recognize the CDL is, you know, like a specialized license that requires some skill and testing to get. I do there was a question. I'm trying to find it in the presentation, just for what I understand what it means, because it seemed important. It was down at the bottom in the recommendation. Where did it go? I'm sorry. I'm trying to. Oh, I wasn't sure what change onboard comparability to less than 5% of trips meant. Like, I didn't know what that meant.
So this was looking at the SunTran compared to SunVan. So one of the things, and I have to kind of go back to it and make sure that I'm reading that correctly. So one of the things that we're doing bad was the current time that people are on SunTran, right? So currently we have a policy that you cannot exceed. So when you're on the SunVan, when you're on the Sun Van, you can't exceed a travel time of more than 15% of what it would be traveling on SunTran. So they were looking at changing the policy for it to be more than 25%. Okay. Less than 5% of trips exceeding fixed route time plus 25 minutes. I'm pretty sure I'm explaining that right. If I'm not, I'll talk to Ian and get you a better explanation. Zach, I'll email the whole Cody group. But I'm pretty sure that's how I'm reading it, and I apologize. Like I said, Ian couldn't be here today, so there's a couple things that I may not be completely clear on.
I'm just trying to understand. Like, so it would mean decreasing the amount of time a person could be on a Sun Van ride, versus what they're on a SunTran bus for. Like,
correct. Yeah. So it shouldn't take more time. So it shouldn't take more time to be on a SunVan vehicle than it should be on a SunTran bus, right? Because, you know, sometimes you get a ride and they go and they drop off like three people ahead of you. And now it extends your trip way longer than it should have been. And on a SunVan, like when you're on SunTran bus, this is how long it's going to take. It shouldn't have that much more exceeded time for you to be taking a SunVan.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. That clarifies my, Lily, like I'll let you, Lily, and then I think Ray, if I'm tracking correctly, had follow up. And then, you know, we'll probably be close to the end of our time by that.
Okay. So, thank you, Zach. Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Lily.
Hi, I wanted to make a comment about the mobility choice program that's being proposed.
Uh-huh.
I moved out here in 2021 from Maricopa County, and I was a user of the Ride Choice program. So I wanted to explain how Ride Choice works and kind of put away some of the fears of some of the commenters. Ride Choice is a third-party, organization where they contract with Uber, Lyft, and disability transportation companies like USERV. They also have their taxis as well. So they have their own phone number and reservation list. When you call in, they'll ask you if you have a mobility device. And at that point, if you're a wheelchair user, cane user, or walker user, you can let them know. They're open 24 hours a day, so you can call them. If your flight gets in at 3 a.m., you can let them know you need a vehicle and let them know which service you would like to use, like Uber, Lyft, USERV, et cetera. I've been advocating very hard for us to implement something like it. We are looking like we're 7 years behind Maricopa County, and in some ways, that's a shame. It really is. We're not a small county. We need to be equal and, you know, inclusive in the way we operate. So I do see some flaws in the mobility choice proposal, but it's looking like it's going the right direction at least. So those are my thoughts, and if you have any questions. Oh, by the way, it was $3 for up to 8 miles and $2 per mile after that. So quite a big price difference from the $12 and $15 proposed. The flat fee of $15, I do like that because they're, you know, as we all know, Pima County is pretty spread out, and some of my rides could be 20, 25 miles. And so that in some ways is very advantageous for us to use, but the $12 for 8 miles or less does not seem very equitable. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily. I appreciate you sharing some of those lived experiences. It's really great for us to be able to hear. Zach, did you have another question? Oh, wait, Ray. Ray, you have another question. Hi, Ray.
Hello. Thanks again. Mm-hmm. Here we go. I still have a bunch of questions. And I'm wondering, Zach asked a question about the 15% of, you know, extra time that you might be on a SunVan, and that sort of thing's unacceptable. The fact that Zach actually had to ask that question means that it has been very poorly explained in the literature that SunVan has produced. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions, and I'm not expecting an answer right now because otherwise we're going to be here till 10 p.m. So because this is being recorded, or would you prefer me to submit all of my questions by email to you or to Ian or somebody like that? Because most of my questions involve the fact that the information being provided on the presentation, which you can also see on the website, is lacks detail. So I'm, you know, I wonder things like it mentions a refusal process. What is that? And don't answer now because we need to move on. Okay.
Yes, right.
Customer cancellations. Apparently that's a problem. But how is that? What's the analysis? You know, why do customers, cancel the chips? So that needs to be addressed. Let us give the people, not just us, because there's no point answering those questions here in this forum, because another 100 people or 200 people who might want to complete your survey will not have the information that you provide to us and us alone. That's no good. It's got to be public. Let me just pick one or two other just little things and then we'll just move right along. Mobility choice is great. How does Sundance see that users would make their reservations? Would they make their reservation with Sundance, or some other third party, as Lily suggested a minute ago? Back to that fixed route versus Sundance trip times. What is the data on that? How often does that happen? Zach may have answered that, may have asked that question also. My last one, here's the final one. About the number of reservations per call. You mentioned before, and you're probably not correct, that about monthly, you know, organizations doing their trip reservations a month in advance. Regular people can only make them 7 days in advance.
7 days in advance, yeah.
But that may have been just a little
exaggeration there. Sorry, Ray. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Now, included in that, there's somewhere in the presentation, there's something about having a phone tree where, you know, you divide up the reasons for the various calls. Uh-huh. I'm wondering whether organizations should have their own separate branch of the phone tree so that obviously if they're going to make 10 reservations for their client, that's going to keep regular people like you and me out of the phone queue, waiting on hold for a long period of time. Or there's some other better technology where they can make their reservation through the phone app as well.
Can I speak on this really quick?
Do you want it? That's Stephanie. She's our reservation manager. She's asking if she could speak on just that portion real quick. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, so we have instructed programs when they do large group outings to email our reservation supervisors with the date and the times so it's not holding up. Unfortunately, sometimes they don't send the emails and then they call and it does tie up the reservationist for a good hour. But we have, you know, asked them to reach out via email to book their reservations with the supervisors.
Sounds like they need some kind of incentive, doesn't it?
That would be nice.
Thank you. I'm concluded.
Welcome. Thank you, Ray. And if you want to follow up with an email at all, I mean, you have all our emails, so always feel comfortable sharing any kind of email with us. It's always great for us to have that feedback so we're able to just, you know, not speak on what we've heard, but more, you know, have those detailed, especially your emails, Ray, are always very nice and detailed, and I appreciate that. I think, is that all, Zach?
I don't see any other hands up. Members of the commission, do any of you have questions or comments before we let Stephanie, Luz, and Cesar, go on with their days?
I have a calculus question for them.
Oh, thank you. I have a baseball game to get to, so I really appreciate it, guys. I'm going to go watch my 7-year-old try to hit a ball again. Cool. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you all so much for, your active questioning and participation with Sundance. Really appreciate it. Next thing on our agenda is consideration and possible approval of our February 2025 and March 2025 meeting minutes. As commissioners will remember, Commissioner Jordan had some helpful edits for the February 2025 minutes, which have been completed. So I think we probably, Stephanie, do we need two separate motions for each minutes, or can we just?
Yeah, I think we'll do two separate motions.
sounds good. So does anyone have any corrections, comments, changes to the corrected, like February 2025 minutes? Commissioner Krager, you had a question?
Yeah, I don't know if I got an old copy. I don't know what came out regarding the February minutes, but the one I'm reading, I think, has multiple issues, both with a typical, mostly grammar, but I just feel like there's a number of problems in the February minutes. And I don't, like I said, maybe I've got, I looked at the one that Stephanie sent recently, so I assume I have the most up to date, but maybe not since Ray spent time on them. But the ones that she sent just last week, would that have been Ray's updates?
Could have been.
Yeah, so the ones that got sent on, I believe it was Thursday, would have had some of the grammar updates corrected that came up when we used, like, the word. I think Ray had, like, a word kind of edit thing that kind of caught him.
Okay, well, yeah. not to be a nag, but I just have so many concerns about the February. The March ones I thought looked fine, but the February ones I think are problematic.
Just to clarify, Sue, the file name that I think we're looking at for the February is Cody Minutes 219.25 revised. Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, like I said, I'm looking at the ones that Stephanie sent last week. That's the one I'm looking at. But I don't see any, well, you mean in the, yes, it says revised. Absolutely it does when I look at the, yeah. But so for just, I mean, I don't want to be a jerk here, but, I mean, if you just look at under call to the public, does it say, Jennifer Bonham introduced herself, comma. She will be taking over in an interim capacity for Rebecca Hill as she has retired. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the one that I have a lot of concerns. I think it's not well written. I don't think it sounds very professional. And it doesn't look like the March meeting minutes, in my opinion. So I would be happy to submit my corrections. I've already gone through it. But I'm not willing to approve them.
Do you want to do a motion maybe to approve with the correction then, so we don't push them to the next meeting?
That sounds good to me. You know, if we could do like a motion, like if a member could move to approve the February 2025 minutes with Commissioner Krager's corrections.
So you're going to be okay with it?
Yeah, I'll correct it. I'll try and get it done Friday, and then I'll send them out. No, don't worry about it. It's no problem. I promise. It's your fine.
No, but I just want, I mean, I'm not expecting people to agree with my edits, but I mean, if you're okay with that.
I think it will be fine, Sue. I mean,
okay.
We trust, right. We trust your editorial eye, or at least I do. So I shouldn't okay. speak for the whole commission.
Okay. All right. So moved. I move we approve the February 19th, 2025 minutes with corrections.
Okay. I'd be looking for a second.
I will second that. Because I can't believe after doing all of the changes, I still missed a couple.
Sorry, Ray.
Can I just don't vote worry. Against Ray personally? Like...
Okay, I think we're ready for a roll call.
Yeah, Sue Krager?
Aye.
Derek Espadas?
Aye.
Zach Coble?
Aye.
Ray Jordan?
Aye.
Lily Bogan?
Aye.
Wesley Derbyshire?
Nay.
Kate Elliott?
Aye.
Jonathan Lee Confer?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 8-0.
I said nay.
7-1.
Nay?
7-1.
Yeah, I said nay. Yeah.
Okay. So it'd be 7-1. I apologize. I heard yay.
Okay. So, now we, you know, is there any discussion, possible need for corrections, changes to March 2025 minutes, before I ask for a motion? Would someone like to move for approval of the March 2025 CODI minutes?
I move that we accept the March 19th, 2025 minutes.
Okay. I heard Sue first, Ray, but if you would like, you can second.
I would like.
Great.
Okay.
So I think we're good. Roll call.
Yep. Sue Krager?
Aye.
Derek Espadas?
Aye.
Zach Coble?
Aye.
Ray Jordan?
Aye.
Lily Bogan?
I would like to refrain since I wasn't at the March meeting.
Okay. Wesley Derbyshire?
Aye.
Kate Elliott?
Aye.
Jonathan Lee Confer?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Believe it's going to be 7-1 as well.
Yes, 7-1 abstaining. I think. I don't know how that looks, but that's the.
I think that'll okay. be 6-0.
7-0-1.
Yeah, 7-0-1. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, everyone, we're running a little ahead of schedule. I wasn't sure. I tried to build in more time with this one, so we may get through the next bit early. So, given that there was so, like, there was a, you know, we had a good discussion with the SunVan comprehensive operational analysis just now. We received a presentation. And, you know, there's other written data on SunVan's website. And, you know, we all had good questions. I would like to propose that we do a couple of different things. One is write a memo to mayor and council, as we've done. The other I've noted that multiple councils and commissions of the city have written op-eds that are the byline comes from one member of that commission, but the editorial does include like that commission approved the op-ed and that I would like to propose that we do so in regard to the Sun Van, like in regard to Sun Van and the comprehensive operational analysis. At the next meeting, whoever the volunteers are comes back with those documents for seeking commission approval, and we hopefully can find a local publication for the op-ed. So would there be any, volunteers besides myself that would like to be involved in that process? Sue, did you have your hand up for that? You're welcome to. I just wanted to make sure.
And Zach, I'm willing to try also to help on that as well.
Cool. Thank you, Wesley. Ray, I see your hand up. So, gentlemen, we'll work together on that, and then we'll see what we can come up with for Cody's consideration. As I'm sure there will be a lot of different, opinions and things to work through with that. Sounds good. All right. That leads to our announcements. We have plenty of time for announcements. So I have one, but if I know other commissioners have announcements usually, so floor is yours first. So, Sue?
And then yeah, I had talked to Zach recently. I'm going to certainly complete my term on CODI, but I do need to step away from the vice chair role. I don't have the personal bandwidth now currently with personal stuff. And so I just wanted to relay that to the board and hoping that one of you might step forward and take on the vice chair role. Anyway, thank you.
And I can speak to that just after Ray, but thank you, Sue. Thank you for your service and thank you for your continued dedication to Cody. Certainly. I want to respect your boundaries. Yeah. Ray?
Sue, thank you for putting in all that time up, as vice chair. It's been great to have you doing that role. I attended my second Tucson Transit Advisory Committee meeting on April 7. The major topic of this particular meeting was about budgets and how much it takes to run a mass transit system in a city like Tucson, revenues, expenses, blah, 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 blah. Couple of notes, I took from it. One, I was interested in the advertising revenue because I had a reason for doing, for asking the question about that, whether they had a breakdown of the advertising revenue, the advertising signs on buses, on bus shelters, other kinds of advertising they have, and so forth. And they were not able to give me that at that time. And I think, the chances are that the powers will have conveniently forgotten my question by the time we get around to the next meeting. However, I have a personal dislike for the advertising that covers the windows on buses because it restricts the view of people looking to see, where they are in the world. And so I was interested in how much extra revenue that particular style of advertising generates, as opposed to having regular bus advertising, on the panels on the side and on the panel on the back, etc. So I'm still in the dark on that question, but I will pursue it.
I did, however, when I did mention that, though, a number of the other committee members started nodding their heads and saying, yes, we don't like that, the advertising covering windows situation very much either. And it suddenly became a topic that will be addressed in a future meeting. So I was kind of happy about that. At least there's some kind of a ball rolling there. Some point I picked up fair. I wanted to know about fair revenues. Oh, here we go. In my notes, the fair revenue pre-COVID, because they don't charge fares currently, was about $13 million per year, which is probably about 10% of the entire operating budget. I think the 2026 budget, the total budget for operating Sun Mass Transit. Yeah, I think it's the three Sun Van, Sun Tran, and Sun Link. Was approximately $160 million. So that's the budget for 2026. So the fare revenue, if it was still going, would be probably about 10% of that. So the rest of the money comes from advertising. It comes from the city coffers, actually. That's where most of it comes from, I think. And there is a cap. And I'm looking at my notes. And I think if I remember right, it was something like $69 million is the maximum amount that the city can contribute to the running of the mass transit system. I think that's all I've got for now. But happy to answer questions if anybody's got any.
Do you know how much is from federal grants?
If I had that up on my screen, yes, I could tell you that. Can I get to it quickly? Perhaps if somebody else has got an announcement, I can come back and I'll get to it.
Well, the reason I bring it up too is that I think the federal grants limit what the city can do. So, like, even if there's during like labor issues, the city can't participate directly in labor issues because of the federal money. So there's a lot of limits placed on what Tucson can do and how much they're able to allocate and spend based on what they receive from the federal government, which is kind of scary.
Sure.
Given our targets.
Lilia, I'll get to you in a moment, but I see Jennifer Toothaker has her hand up.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I was at the last meeting, and I presented on our particularly transportation ADA issues. I'll be back again in May if that's a time you all want to have some more discussion on that item. But and my role as Deputy Director at Transportation and Mobility, the information that you're sharing, Ray, is something that we can also provide. So we can give you a little bit more clarity on the breakdown of the budget. And it would be helpful. I mean, we can present kind of the basic budget items based on what you're talking about. If there is anything in particular in terms of questions around the budget or any information you would like, I'm happy to do, and especially as this might be relating to something you're interested in writing an op-ed about, please know, reach out. We can, certainly set up a conversation around that to be able to give you the best information, that could help you out. Okay.
Great. Great, Jennifer. Thank you so much for that. I may reach out I may ask, if other members of the commission, have interest, or are working on things, I'll share your contact information with them if that's all right with you.
Thanks. And I guess we just have to keep it to a minimum number, right? So we don't run into quorum issues.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's why things will run through me so I can control quorum issues. Derek, I see the hand motions. Only in this one thing do I have that level of power. Nothing else in my life. So, Lily,
take it and run with it.
Lily, do you have an announcement that you'd like to make?
Oh no, just a quick follow-up question to Sue Kroger's announcement. Do you know, can you tell me what is the term of a commissioner?
So there is no specific term for a vice chair or chair of CODI. As I understand it, I'd have to go back and look through the commission rules and regulations. But I believe each of us as a commissioner in and of ourselves is, I think, limited to 6 total years on CODI or however long, like, we serve at the pleasure of our appointing office. So, you know, the mayor, the city manager, the ward offices could say, we want to change directions and, you know, ask for us to resign, but that doesn't usually happen. But I think there is a overall limit for us to be on the commission for 6 total years. Stephanie, I don't know if you know that information off the top of your head.
I don't, but I can go ahead and talk to management and get some answers and go ahead and send out an email.
That'd be great. I think that might be helpful to know the terms and how many years people have remaining on their terms. Lily, did you have any other questions related to the vice chairship or, you know, CODI in general?
No, that was my only question. Thank you.
Okay. So to follow up on Sue's announcement, I'd be very happy to have a vice chairperson. Right now I'm happy to continuing chairing the meetings, although at some point my term will end and step aside as well, just for capacity reasons, not right at the moment. A vice chairship, you know, you can have input on, well, any of you really can have input on meeting agenda items. If you have something, like, I'm happy to pursue it. If I am not available for the meeting, in our past, we've had the chairperson, you know, have a personal emergency or something, the vice chairperson can step in and then run the meeting kind of like I do. That's generally the extent of the vice chairship. I was vice chair before I was chairperson, and that was kind of the role. I'll reach out to you all if I don't hear from anyone specific, eagerly wanting to volunteer. If you're interested, please email me. I believe you all have my email, but it's just my name, zachcoble@gmail.com. If you're interested, or just have questions. Thanks. I did have one event announcement, related to the Sunvan COA that you all might want to be aware of. And, you know, we as members of CODI have had a good deal of input and ability to ask questions, but members of the public, you know, I know they've done outreach, but even more outreach is good. Ward 2 is hosting a Sunvan COA meeting on Monday, April 28th from 2 to 4 p.m. at their office located at 7820 East Broadway. And there is a survey, another survey going around, regarding the Sunvan COA that's a little more specific, that if you all haven't received the link for, please email me or I believe probably, you know, Wesley or another member of the commission probably has access to that link as well. So that's what I wanted to add. Do other people have announcements?
I do really quick. Sorry, George. Sorry, Ray. I have Brandy on with us. She's been kind of watching the meetings. She mm-hmm. may be the face that you guys see for the next few meetings, mm-hmm. just so she has time to introduce herself.
Okay, great.
Hi, my name is Brandy. Hi, nice to meet Brandy. Everybody.
Nice to have you.
Thank you. Yes, Stephanie's just training me right now on this commission or anything like that. This is my first commission I'm taking on, so be patient with me. I'm just kind of learning the ropes right now and seeing how you guys operate so I could kind of jump in as soon as I feel comfortable and everything like that. So.
Thank you. Thank you for introducing yourself, Brandy. We look forward to working with you, and please reach out if you have questions or concerns. We're, you know.
And then this
just
is
be careful with Ray.
This is Wesley. I don't have a specific announcement, but I just want to notate that while the PDF that we received today for the Sunvan Call was accessible, at least for me, using the Zoom text reader that I used, the actual Word document was effectively totally inaccessible. It was useless. It just basically said image, you know, area. That's all it said. It was garbage. That's all I have.
Yeah. Thank you, Wesley, for noting the accessibility issues. That's really important. Glad the PDF was accessible though. Ray, did you have another announcement?
I have an answer for Derek.
Okay.
Financial year 2024 grants were from federal, as far as I can tell, $12 million. The financial year 2025, the one we're in now, which is budgeted grants at $31 million, and 2026 financial year grants are budgeted at $52 million. They're made up of a bunch of different types of grants, which I didn't quite understand too much, except that some are like set in stone and some are more discretionary. So, well, just based on the stuff you've seen on your TV screen recently, it's possible that those numbers won't turn out to be exactly correct. That's all I got.
That's a very, fact-based way of putting that, right? So, thank you. I think unless anyone else has announcements, I think we're
so just really quickly.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Derek.
Yeah, I just did want to share. I just came back from Houston. One of the reasons I went was for a particular art parade they had, which is designed for accessibility. So the cars are generally textured. So those with visual impairments, they actually take the cars by request to various schools and locations so that people with visual impairments can feel the cars. Just talking around town, and it doesn't necessarily have to be anything we start, but joining on with some organization that we can almost do the same thing, but I was thinking with mobility aids, wheelchairs, walkers, just decorating, having fun, but showing the art and kind of getting disabled people out of the shadows and into the sunlight and visually, showing that we exist other than to what I think a lot of people's perception is that we're sitting at home collecting a check. So it's something that we could talk about at some other time, but it was a great experience. All the cars were touchable except for the glass one, because obviously it was covered in glass. So that was not allowed to touch, but it was a great experience.
Awesome. Thanks. That sounds really fun. Yeah. right. Well, if there are no other announcements, I will call this meeting to a close and adjourn it. Thank you, everyone, and Wesley and Ray. I'll be reaching out to do our due diligence on writing the memo and possible op-ed. So, all right. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Nice to see you all.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you.
Oh, you're good.